Part 3, page 127. Rikki Tikki's eyes grew red again, and he danced up to Karait with the peculiar rocking, swaying motion that he had inherited from his family. It looks very funny, but it is so perfectly balanced a gait that you can fly off from it at any angle you please, and in dealing with snakes, this is an advantage. If Rikki Tikki had only known he was doing a much more dangerous thing than fighting Nog, for Karait is so small and can turn so quickly that unless Rikki bit him close to the back of the head, he would get the return stroke in his eye or his lip. But Rikki Tikki did not know. His eyes were all red, and he rocked back and forth looking for a good place to hold. Karait struck out. Rikki jumped sideways and tried to run in, but the wicked little dusty gray head lashed within a fraction of his shoulder, and he had to jump over the body, and the head followed his heels close. Teddy shouted to the house, "Oh, look here! Our mongoose is killing a snake!" And Rikki Tikki heard a scream from Teddy's mother. His father ran out with a stick, but by the time he came up, Karait had lunged out once too far, and Rikki Tikki had sprung, jumped on the snake's back, dropped his head far between his forelegs, bitten as high up the back as he could get hold, and rolled away. That bite paralyzed Karait, and Rikki Tikki was just going to eat him up from the tail, after the custom of his family at dinner, when he remembered that a full meal makes a slow mongoose, and if he wanted all his strength and quickness ready, he must keep himself thin. He went away for a dust bath under the castor oil bushes, while Teddy's father beat the dead Karait. "What is the use of that?" thought Rikki Tikki. "I have settled it all." And then Teddy's mother picked him up from the dust and hugged him, crying that he had saved Teddy from death, and Teddy's father said that he was a providence, and Teddy looked on with big scared eyes. Rikki Tikki was rather amused at all the fuss, which, of course, he did not understand. Teddy's mother might just as well have petted Teddy for playing in the dust. Rikki was thoroughly enjoying himself. That night at dinner, walking to and fro among the wine glasses on the table, he might have stuffed himself three times over with nice things, but he remembered Nog and Nagaina. And though it was very pleasant to be patted and petted by Teddy's mother, and to sit on Teddy's shoulder, his eyes would get red from time to time, and he would go off into his long war cry of Rik-tik-tikki-tikki-chick. Teddy carried him off to bed and insisted on Rikki Tikki sleeping under his chin. Rikki Tikki was too well bred to bite or scratch, but as soon as Teddy was asleep, he went off for his nightly walk around the house, and in the dark, he ran up against Chuchundra, the muskrat, creeping around by the wall. Chuchundra is a broken-hearted little beast. He whimpers and cheeps all the night, trying to make up his mind to run into the middle of the room, but he never gets there. "Don't kill me," said Chuchundra, almost weeping. "Rikki Tikki, don't kill me." "Do you think a snake killer kills muskrats?" said Rikki Tikki scornfully. "Those who kill snakes get killed by snakes," said Chuchundra, more sorrowfully than ever. "And how am I to be sure that Nog won't mistake me for you some dark night?"
"There's not the least danger," said Rikki Tikki. "But Nog is in the garden, and I know you don't go there."
"My cousin Chua, the rat, told me," said Chuchundra, and then he stopped.
"Told you what?"
"Hush! Nog is everywhere, Rikki Tikki. You should have talked to Chua in the garden."
"I didn't, so you must tell me. Quick, Chuchundra, or I'll bite you."
Chuchundra sat down and cried till the tears rolled off his whiskers.
"I am a very poor man," he sobbed. "I never had spirit enough to run out into the middle of the room. Hush! I mustn't tell you anything. Can't you hear, Rikki Tikki?"
Rikki Tikki listened. The house was as still as still, but he thought he could just catch the faintest scratch in the world, a noise as faint as that of a wasp walking on a window pane, the dry scratch of a snake's scales on brickwork. "That's Nog or Nagaina," he said to himself, "and he is crawling into the bathroom slough. You're right, Chuchundra. I should have talked to Chua." He stole off to Teddy's bathroom, but there was nothing there, and then to Teddy's mother's bathroom. At the bottom of the smooth plaster wall, there was a brick pulled out to make a slough for the bathwater. And as Rikki Tikki stole in by the masonry curb where the bath is put, he heard Nog and Nagaina whispering again, together outside in the moonlight. "When the house is emptied of people," said Nagaina to her husband, "he will have to go away, and then the garden will be our own again. Go in quietly, and remember that the big man who killed Karate is the first one to bite. Then come out and tell me, and we will hunt for Rikki Tikki together."
"But are you sure that there is anything to be gained by killing the people?" said Nog.
"Everything. When there were no people in the bungalow, did we have any mongoose in the garden? So long as the bungalow is empty, we are king and queen of the garden. And remember that as soon as our eggs in the melon bed hatch, as they may tomorrow, our children will need room and quiet."
"I had not thought of that," said Nog. "I will go, but there is no need that we should hunt for Rikki Tikki afterward. I will kill the big man and his wife, and the child if I can, and come away quietly. Then the bungalow will be empty, and Rikki Tikki will go." Rikki Tikki tingled all over with rage and hatred at this. And then Nog's head came through the slough, and his 5 feet of cold body followed it. Angry as he was, Rikki Tikki was frightened as he saw the size of the big cobra. Nog coiled himself up, raised his head, and looked into the bathroom in the dark, and Rikki Tikki could see his eyes glitter. "Now if I kill him here, Nagaina will know. And if I fight him on the open floor, the odds are in his favor. What am I to do?" said Rikki Tikki, Tavi. Nog waved to and fro, and then Rikki Tikki heard him drinking from the biggest water jar that was used to fill the bath.
"Ah, that is good," said the snake. "Now, when Karait was killed, the big man had a stick. He may have that stick still, but when he comes in to bathe in the morning, he will not have a stick. I shall wait here till he comes. Nagaina, do you hear me? I shall wait here in the cool till daytime." There was no answer from outside, so Rikki Tikki knew Nagaina had gone away. Nog coiled himself down, coil by coil, around the bulge at the bottom of the water jar, and Rikki Tikki stayed still as death. After an hour, he began to move, muscle by muscle, toward the jar. Nog was asleep, and Rikki Tikki looked at his big back, wondering which would be the best place for a good hold. "If I don't break his back at the first jump, said Rikki, "he can still fight. And if he fights, oh, Rikki." He looked at the thickness of the neck below the hood, but that was too much for him, and a bite near the tail would only make Nog savage. "It must be the head," he said at last, "the head above the hood, and when I am once there, I must not let go."